The reading for today is from Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury, because he knows that his time is short. This is the word of the Lord.
What the angels are doing, because as we have this day, September 29th is the date, and with
September 29th, it's called St. Michael and All Angels Day. It doesn't normally fall on a Sunday, so I kind of skip over it usually, because it's not one of those topics that there's a lot to say, it would seem. But maybe once every few years, it's good to focus in on these angels of God and what they're doing, and to remember this. Now, where do you go to learn about these angels? The church itself started this tradition back in the 5th century, when there was a church dedication in Rome that commemorates St. Michael, and that St. Michael the Archangel, that tradition has continued on in the liturgical churches since then for this date. They used to have a whole lot of different saint days, whole lot of different days that you could talk about saints, or specific angels as well. And they kind of condense these things down at different times. Kind of like we have a President's Day. Instead of trying to remember all the different presidents, there's a day. We'll get them all in, get them all out in one time. Kind of do that with St. Michael and all the angels as well. This is all done for this one particular opportunity. And it's good, because otherwise we'd have too many days that we talk about something we don't know that much about. Because if you're going to talk about angels, where do we learn about what angels do? There are lots of books. I mean, Billy Graham even has a book all about angels, and all these different authors that have things about angels. It's amazing, because when you look at their books, almost all of their books are thicker than what, if you pulled out all the Bible verses that talk about angels to get and put them all together. There's not a lot to learn. Angels are mentioned frequently in Scripture, but as far as specifics that give us details on what they're doing, where they're from, how they go about their regular task and what they are, we're really not given that much that we can discern from God's Word. And that's where we're going to have to stay if we're going to talk about angels. And there's some that talk about demons in the world. Well, if you talk about demons, then you got to believe in angels. It's kind of like the wrong idea, but yin and yang. You know, there's the good and there's the bad. But then some people want to talk about good angels, angels that are there, but they don't think about the fact, yes, there are also those bad angels that are there. The dark angels, the angels that serve the devil instead of the Lord. And those are also a very prevalent part of Scripture that we have to look at and understand the work that they're doing. I had a story, or it was a prayer when I was a child, about angels that I would say, and it wasn't until later that I understood there was a little problem with the prayer, but it was about five little angels around my bed, one at my foot, one at my head, one to sing, and I always pictured that one over here, one to pray, and I always pictured that one over here, because it was got four around us, and then there's one more, and one, two, and here's where the prayer loses it, take my sins away. Oops, sorry, cute prayer, bad theology. Angels don't take away sins. That's the work of Jesus. One to sing, one to pray, one to take my sins away. When I understood that later, it's like, I didn't teach it to my son, because No, I thought, no, I don't have a way to alter that one. I fixed the other prayers that I learned that were kind of morbid. If I should die before I wake, as a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, I changed the wording on those, but I couldn't do it with the 5 little angels, so I just kept that one to myself. But what we learn about angels is really amazing when you just stick with what the scriptures say. Again, it's not a lot, but it's powerful and it's important. From Revelation chapter 12, the first 3 verses that we heard today, there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels, Michael is the great archangel, the pinnacle, the top angel. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels, the devil and his angels, fought back. They were not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon is hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with them. So what we learn here that's very important about the bad angels versus the good angels, the devil and his angels, is the devil has already lost. We already know he has lost. He lost his first battle, and he's hurled down to the earth. And why did God do that? That's another one of those wonderful questions that we have for later on. I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. Scripture also doesn't tell us what the devil did in that original turning away from God. What brought that about? What was the idea there? What made him go into the garden and be there to tempt Eve and to tempt Adam? Why would he do such a thing? We're not given that. But we're given that it did happen, and we're given that he is defeated. He's already lost. The book of Revelation shows Michael as the leader of the angels, and they fight against the evil angels, and they drive them out of heaven. The only other angel we get a name for, we get different ranks of angels, but the only other angel we get a name for is Gabriel. Michael is the one who protects the earth and also leads the angels in that battle, the final battle as well. Gabriel is the only other named one. Remember him. He's the one that proclaims the birth of Christ. We're given his name also in Scripture. So for all the angels we know that are there in the world and around the world in the heavenly places, we only have names for 2. But those 2 are very important. And they serve in a recruitment process, if you will. Because Michael is there bringing us along to work with the angels of heaven for this final battle, because it's our works, our good deeds that God performs through us that are waved on that banner in heaven before the devil. Those are what are carried out there into war. And look at the good deeds, the good works of God's people. And the devil is defeated in the end. We come in with the angels. Gabriel announces the opportunity for us to join in by proclaiming the birth of Christ. Humanity is now drawn into the work of God in a way in which it had never been before, because Christ incarnate, taking on our flesh and blood, becomes as we are. And the angel says that he's coming to be a part of you, and we're going to be a part of him. And so we as a Christian church and other churches all over Arlington and other churches all over the world, we're enlisted into this heavenly battle that's going to take place. And it starts right now for us. We join together with the angels when we sing. There's that old liturgy that professes with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name evermore, praising you and singing. And then we go into the Sanctus, that holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabbath, heaven and earth are full of your glory. We join in the singing. We join in the battle. We join in the praise of God. We join with the angels who are already there. And know that the angels have already triumphed. It's a done thing. The next couple of verses 10 and 11 say, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ, for the accuser of our brothers who accuses them before our God day and night has been hurled down, They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. The angels put their very lives on the line for Christ. And we're called to do no less. This war, this is really a world war. It's a spiritual war, but it is a world war for the battle of God versus the devil. And whatever led the devil to think he could do more than what he was given the ability to do, we don't know. But to challenge God, this end time really has four stages in a sense of what's going on with the angels in this final structure for us. The first stage was back in when the devil turned away from God. And we're not given the reason, we're not given the cause, but when one of the highest, if you will, spirits rebelled against God, that's where the war breaks out, and Michael leads the charge at that time. Devil's defeated. Second stage of this war is what's enacted on earth, because the devil is cast down to earth. We deal with the devil now on earth, and his first task was challenging God by tempting Eve and then Adam. And then therein begins the fight for the world. The second phase is going to end with the defeat of the devil, and that's already taken place. The battle of the against the devil was fought at Golgotha, where Jesus died on the cross for us. The battle is won, and we know that death doesn't hold Christ, so death won't hold us either. There's this warfare, though, that now still continues, and that's the third phase in the church. This warfare that's going to rage until the end of time. And we know that the devil also can only harm those who come near him. The devil can only bite those who are next to him. In a sense, Flip Wilson was right up to a point. The devil made me do it. There is the devil that's there to lead us astray, but he doesn't make us sin. He presents the opportunity, and he's good at his job, and his devils as well, to give us all the things of the earth to look at and to be tempted by, to be led away from God in, to serve instead of God, to serve the devil. And all the wonderful things that he makes this world look like. But we know better. And we turn from him, and we continue to turn from him. We've gotten to this fourth stage where it comes in that the final battle reminds us that the devil is going to be completely overthrown. And in the final battle, Michael will be the leader that brings us through this end time to the glories of this new heaven and new earth. The last verse, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." His time is short. We know that he's already been overthrown. We know that it's going to happen again in a permanent way. So now we're at this time where it's a time we're already rejoicing. He says, he calls us to rejoice. "Rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them." This is the opportunity for you now to live as forgiven children of God. To live as children of God who knows you've read the last chapter. You know how it ends. The story is there. And we're written in the book of life. So our opportunity now to join the angels in the works of defeating the devil are there for us. We're called into action. The angels are already doing their task, but we're part of this as we seek to serve the Lord and live in this world where the devil works to continue to defeat him. God is on our side and God is helping us. I remember the story of the man who talked about himself a lot. You know people like this. There are a lot of people around us like this in our lives. I know a few of them in particular that no matter what you say, they have some story that will kind of just top yours. And they always kind of bring it back to them and make things about them. These are the people that are terrible dates because Because instead of talking about you, and they want to talk about themselves. And you know, you don't want to be with those folks. Those are kind of tiresome in the struggle. There was this one who kept talking about how he was such a self-made man. He did this, he accomplished that, he was able to do this. He had brought his life to this point. There was one young girl with her dad that was listening to him at one point and talking with him, and as they walked away, the girl asked her dad, "Dad, if he's such a self-made man, why did he make himself like that?" There are too many folks that are keeping the focus on their lives, on what they've done, what they've accomplished, and what they're going to do, perhaps. When our goal is to talk about not self, but God. That's what the angels do. The angels take no glory for themselves. They don't even want you to bow down to them, and they remind us of that a couple of times in scriptures. You know, it's not the angels we worship. We worship God alone, and that's where our focus needs to be. And we have splendid examples of serving God by the angels that work with us and for us and through us as well to bless us. God calls us to join in serving Him. The angels are messengers. That's the word melach in the scriptures means messenger. And that's their message is the good news. They've done their job. We've got the same task. We're to spread the good news. To share with others. As the angels are ministering servants and spirits that delight in doing God's will, it's important for us to remember that we're supposed to be the same. To serve God by serving others. To rejoice where He's brought us now and to serve others as the angels are there doing their task. We're called into this joyful work of God. They've spent an eternity so far and will continue to spend an eternity glorifying God. We join in with all the angels, and sing, "Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God." And every time we do so, and we declare God as our God, and we declare that our God is the one who has died and rose for us, and we declare that our God is the one who has forgiven our sin, we declare that our God is the one that sees us into the glories of heaven, we are on the side of the angels. Saint Michael and all the angels joining together in the defeat, the absolute defeat of the devil. So if the angels can spend an eternity serving and glorifying God, how can we, as the ones that actually have been saved by God, remember, Jesus didn't come to save the fallen angels. Jesus came to save you. He came to save me. He came to save us as His children. If the angels can glorify God, we who have received this great gift from God certainly can do no less. Join with the angels. Join in the praise. Join in the service. Join in the rejoicing with Saint Michael and all the angels. In Jesus' name, amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.